Hello and welcome to Scotland's Decision, the show that keeps you updated with all the news, opinion and analysis before the referendum on Scottish independence on September the 18th. On today's show, we're going to focus on how Scottish independence would affect the rest of the UK, as well as Britain's standing in the world. In England, Wales and Northern Ireland, Scottish independence isn't really hitting the headlines like it is north of the border. But for the ruling classes, the stakes are very high indeed. For example, all the mainstream parties in England are pro-union and they're banking on a no vote. Britain's nuclear weapons are based in Scotland and Scottish oil is a major contributor to UK finances. So assuming it happens, how would Scottish independence affect the rest of the UK? What would be the economic, social and political implications? And how would it affect Britain's role in the world? Here's Luke Mason with a few more thoughts.
The main focus of the upcoming Scottish independence referendum has been on the lasting effects within Scotland, economically, politically and constitutionally. But what about the rest of Britain, or Rump UK as it's often called? Well, if the UK broke up, it would lose around 32% of its land, while Rump UK would lose around 8% of its population, shrinking from 64 million down to 59 million. As a result, Rump UK would move from the 45th to the 29th most densely populated country in the world. After England, Scotland is the UK's biggest exporter. Scottish exports are worth about £16.9 billion. If Scotland left, the UK would lose 7.1% of its total exports. But according to the Office for National Statistics, independence would result in a small increase in GDP per head of around £117 for Rump UK. Now, the political structure of the UK would fundamentally change, transforming the electoral fortunes of all three major parties. There are currently 59 MPs representing Scottish constituencies. If Scotland became independent, this would naturally have a big impact at Westminster, particularly for the Labour Party, as they have 40 MPs representing Scottish constituencies in the Parliament. Now, without them, the Labour Party would weaken, giving other parties, particularly the Tory Party, an electoral advantage. Consistent polling indicates that the majority of people in England and Wales want Scotland to remain a part of the UK. In a recent poll by the Financial Times, I found that 55% of those who expressed a strong opinion would prefer Scotland to stay, while only 15% would support separation, with 30% undecided. In another poll conducted by Populous, people south of the border were in favour of an independent Scotland keeping the pound, but against a shared currency union, with 68% of those polled in England and 59% in Wales against Scotland continuing to use the sterling while retaining the Bank of England as our central bank. Now, as the vote draws nearer, it is clear that the United Kingdom's political and economic structure would undergo a significant transitional period under independence. With the referendum less than 2 months away, Britain's eyes will be firmly fixed on the people of Scotland's final decision.
Joining me in the studio now to discuss this issue is Bill Blaine, who's a market strategist in London. Bill is from Scotland and is active in campaigning for a no vote. Bill, thanks a lot for coming in today to speak with me.
An absolute pleasure.
Why are you voting no?
Well, look, I am a very proud Scotsman. When I wear my kilt and I march down the street singing Flower of Scotland, I can scare the English with it. I am very proud, and my heart would certainly say, wouldn't it be marvellous if Scotland was independent and taking our place as an independent nation? But when I look at it with my head, it's a very different thing. And I think back to history, and it's clear that before the Act of Union, Scotland was one of the meanest and poorest nations on the planet. Within 100 years of the Act of Union, around about the time Robert Burns, our most famous poet, was writing, Scotland was one of the wealthiest nations. It was the Athens of the North. We saw enormous innovation, enormous entrepreneurship. Scotland became the beating heart of the British Empire. Clyde built were the best ships in the world. Scottish economists invented banking. And ever since then, Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland together have succeeded as a nation.
So basically, Scotland,
why would you break that?
Scotland has benefited from the
it's
union.
It's benefited enormously.
Yeah. And as an economist, Bill, is independence going to be a disaster economically for the rest of the UK?
Well, it's interesting you ask that question, Roisin, because we have a very good example of what would happen. Back in 1921, the Irish made the decision to split. Now, their decision was fundamentally based on different reasons, primarily because of perceived injustice in the past. But following the split, the Irish economy collapsed. From 1921 till 1971, Ireland tumbled down the league tables, their economy became progressively poorer and poorer, and all that time they were linked to sterling, which meant they had no control over their own financial destiny. In fact, many Irish would say they ended up giving away most of the state controls and education and medicine to the Catholic Church as the only people left in the country with money.
And obviously the oil and the gas is a major issue. Are the Scots going to take it all or 90% of it? And how important of an issue is that for the rest
of
the UK?
Well, we really don't know how that's going to divide up. Interestingly, Scotland certainly does produce more GDP per capita than the rest of the UK, and that's primarily due to oil. It also pays more than its fair share of taxes, but that's because we are a successful people, we are a successful nation, we do benefit from oil, as does the rest of the United Kingdom. And the question today is, how will the whole United Kingdom suffer if Scotland and England break? Well, the thing is, Scotland's oil, North Sea oil, has been one of the major factors in ensuring that today the United Kingdom is the fastest growing economy in Western Europe, growing faster than even the US, because we've been able to use that to benefit the whole economy. When the oil runs out in 40 years' time, is Scotland going to be able to do the same thing with whiskey? I doubt it.
Politically, it's going to mean that England becomes more Tory, but Scotland isn't going to be ruled by the Tories.
I'm not sure that that simple political game that it would simply make England Tory forever will be correct. I think the Tories would rue badly if the split happens, because you'd very quickly find that you'd have a new middle forming in English politics. And I think you'd see that being that the right-wing party, the Conservatives, would split into extremists and more left-wing, and the Labour Party would simply move in. And of course, we have the Liberal Democrats in England who would make it. So I don't think you'd end up with a natural Tory majority. You'd just see a shift in the political spectrum. But let me ask this question as well. What will happen to England on its own? There has never been an example of a country deliberately making itself smaller and less relevant, getting more space at the very important international forums.
Well, that's what I wanted to
Britain's
ask you.
Britain's in just now.
This is going to weaken Britain as a nation, isn't it?
Completely. It's utterly going to make us fairly irrelevant.
And is that a good thing?
Well, how could it possibly be a good
thing? Because it means that we'll be waging foreign wars and getting involved in these ridiculous adventures.
Come on. The foreign wars and the ridiculous adventures, whatever, are a tiny fraction of the real things that are going on. The real issues that need to be sorted out is, how do you create economies that are strong and create employment for the youth of these economies? That means having a seat on global trade negotiations and being able to ensure that in Brussels, where European politics are determined, Britain's points are well represented. If we aren't strong and powerful, our voices will not get heard. And from the Scottish perspective, it's very, very important. Because if you think any country is going to want to ensure maximum jobs for their young people, that means you have protectionism is built in. For instance, in the UK, it is buy British goods. Scotland's largest trading partner is England. No other country in the world has ever decided to split away from its major trading partner. It would be a disaster.
Well, someone who Press TV viewers know very well, George Galloway MP, has also waded into the Scottish independence debate in a very prominent way. And to many people's surprise, he's actually campaigning vociferously for a no vote. Luke Mason recently joined George on the campaign trail.
There are a few politicians that can pack a venue on a Monday night, but Respect MP George Galloway has filled out this hall here in this high school in Glasgow to plead with people to reject independence and to stay within the United Kingdom.
Locals gathered to listen to Labour MP Tom Clark and George Galloway arguing the case for remaining in the Union. Many were eager to understand George's impassioned case against Scottish separation, pointing out the dangers and the myths surrounding the debate.
Scotland is not an occupied country. There are no English tanks, barracks, special forces, SAS men crawling around Scotland, assassinating those who argue for independence. I'm against nuclear weapons. I'm against NATO. I'm against a hereditary monarchy. I'm against the Bank of England controlling our affairs. I'm against the Tories. I'm against all these things that you're against. What I'm saying to you is, you'll never get rid of these things if you break up the country.
Most of the people listened intently to what the speakers had to say, but some got very angry and weren't afraid to let their voices be heard.
What? You?
As the arguing died down, George Galloway continued to tell people why he believes the case for Scottish independence is deeply flawed.
An independent Scotland with an independent England will have to race the independent English Tory economy to the bottom.